Blog Talk Radio. Muito graças a Pai, eu vou fazer mais uma madrugada, assim, que nós estamos satisfazendo. Deus nos abençoe, teu Espírito Santo, para cada um dos nossos amados ouvintes. Aqueles que nos ouvem agora, Senhor, e aqueles que nos ouvirão posteriormente, ó Pai. Eu também abençoe, ó Pai, nosso irmão, irmão Dani, ó Pai. Ele também possa, Senhor, ser usado, Senhor, nas suas mãos. E que através da sua boca, Senhor, nós possamos, ó Deus, ser alimentados por ti, Senhor. E teu amor, Senhor, que a tua graça e a tua misericórdia nos acompanhem, ó Pai. Tudo aquilo que nós viemos fazer, Senhor, principalmente para o teu louvor, ó Deus. Todos os nossos amados ouvintes possam ser ministrados, ó Pai, com aquilo que tu desejas para as nossas vidas. É isso que nós já te pedimos e te agradecemos. Em nome de Jesus, amém. Bom, já saudamos todos os nossos amados ouvintes com a graça e a paz do Senhor Jesus Cristo. Já relembrando que hoje nós temos novamente conosco o irmão Dani Morano, é um irmão que também tem um programa de rádio e que tem nos abençoado grandemente através do seu testemunho e da vida que ele tem de intimidade com Cristo. Então, que você fique junto conosco e nos acompanhe em mais essa jornada rumo a mais um passo no crescimento espiritual. Fiquem todos na paz e até mais.
Brothers and sisters, welcome you again. I am seeing on the chat room. Can you hear me now? Please give me some feedback. I hope that everything is okay. My brothers and sisters, please give me some feedback. I hope that you can hear me fine. Okay, something with the volume. How about now? Is it better? Hope that is better. Okay. I welcome our family here again to worship our God, to serve Him. We have our guest tonight again with us. I hope everything goes well now. Brother Danny will be with us to complete the show that we have last week, last Saturday. I hope that now we can have more time with his brother because we have a lot to discuss. A lot of things are happening that will improve everything that the work of this brother is doing, is showing, is exposing, and the happenings, they succeed. So we will pray that this night the enemy can't stop the agenda that God, our Father, has to deliver to us, because all of us, we will have a role to play in this war. The war is on. Not only, I'm not talking about the possible war, physical war, I'm talking about the spiritual war. We all are feeling this war in our lives, in some areas, others in all areas, but sooner or later, the enemy will try to surround us, to make our life a hell on earth. So we must prepare with the spiritual weapons, with knowledge, because the better we know our enemy, the better we will be fighting and overcoming this war. So, as always, we will be worshiping our God first, bringing His glory to amongst us, and then we will call our guest to give us what God has given to him. We will be talking about a lot of things that you see that are meat for our spiritual body. Healing for our souls in these days. May the Lord bless you all. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being listening to this show and the others that will hear on the archives. May the Lord, in Jesus' name, bless your life.
Com o teu abraço, com o teu abraço, quero te dizer que eu me sinto melhor, que eu me sinto melhor com o teu abraço, com o teu abraço. Me abrace como irmão, me abrace como irmão. Então chega pra perto, vem andar no rumo certo. Simplesmente me abrace, me abrace, me abrace como irmão. Me abrace como irmão. Me abrace como irmão. Me abrace como irmão.
fullness of my Savior comes, meets you the wonder of his love. Jesus changes everything, and he's changing me. You save my soul by your blood, and I'm undone by your great love. You made a way so I could come just as I am to you, my God. You saved my soul.
Havia o silêncio que mostrou os meus vícios, minha
agarro contigo, vem, me socorra agora. Tudo foi embora, só tenho você, amor, agora. Essa não é mais uma canção de amor. Não, 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 não. Eu canto pra ti. Olhando pra mim, posso saber que nada.
Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you use our lives as an instrument of your grace. Take us where you want, Lord, and bless us all. Bless your body, my Father. Bring your Holy Spirit and guide us to hold the truth. Bless Father Benny in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Benny, I hope that you can hear me.
Yes, I can, Jose. You're still a little bit soft again, but I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, I will try to improve here. How about now?
That's much better.
Much better. Okay.
Yes.
I hope that the people in chat room can hear me also. Brother, my honor
yes.
to have you again this time. I guess that the Father put a stop in the intentions of the enemy to steal time.
Yes.
I would like to start this conversation in a place where we left on the other day, because I think when the engines were warming, the time was up. So, my brother, just give me a few words in 2 or 3 minutes, a resume of your experience in Europe, and now you will tell me how you were called again back to the Egypt to free the people of God.
Okay. My pleasure. Before I say that, I just want to thank you, Brother Jose, for having joined us on Thursday. You were such a blessing. I enjoyed our conversation so much, and it was great to hear your testimony and to hear the things that you had to share about what the Lord has done in your life and how He led you into the ministry and the revelation and the insight that He's given you. And people were very blessed and excited about the things that you had to share. And many people have been downloading the show. So I just wanted to let you know that, to encourage you. And I thank you very much for opening this door of opportunity to share with my Portuguese brothers and sisters in particular. I know you're reaching many other nations as well, but I know that you're based in Portugal and you're reaching the Portuguese nations, and I just count it as a privilege to be able to share with them and get to know you. I know we haven't known each other very long or met each other face to face, but I just feel such a kindred spirit with you, and I'm just excited about the relationship and what God has for the future. I was in Germany because of a second marriage. I think I shared on the first show that I had lost my first wife, to cancer at a very early age. I was alone for about 2 years, and I had children. I had three children at that time by myself, and I was a very young man, only 30 years old, and not all that experienced at being a mother. So I was a little bit experienced at being a father, but not experienced at all at being a mother, so that was quite a challenge. And I met a young woman in Germany while I was on a mission trip, so to speak. We were doing evangelistic ministry in the churches and also out in evangelistic crusades. And at that time, I had a band. We were performing my original Christian music. And while we were doing that, my lead guitarist was friends with the woman that I met eventually, that I actually had a part in bringing to the Lord. And we got married just about six to eight months later after we met. And that began that whole new life for me in Germany. You know, I mean, God, and I told that story already, so I won't belabor that, but it was quite the experience for 10 years there in that marriage. But unfortunately, after 10 years, my second wife decided that she did not want to continue the marriage, and she expressed that to me, and I put that before God, and I was praying very strongly, Brother Jose, because I sensed for quite some time that we were not on the same page, and at the same time, I felt the Lord calling me back. I think I had expressed that, you know, the Lord had me kind of put the ministry down for a season, and I got involved in business. I was working, and I also started my own real estate business, which God blessed me in, and I was doing quite well, to be honest. And I thought at that time that that's what I would do. I really had reached a point where I had kind of put the ministry up and said, well, maybe that's not what God had for me. You know, maybe I thought I was supposed to be in the ministry all my life, but maybe that's not the case. But anyway, the Lord, it's a pretty amazing story. Where I had stopped my ministry right after the death of my first wife, I was invited to India for, I think this was the third time I had gone. And I went to India, and I mean, I was fresh. The situation was still fresh. I was in mourning. And I went to India, and God blessed the ministry in the time I was there. And it was amazing. People got saved, a lot of deliverance, healings. God was with me. He was faithful, even though I was very weak at that time, emotionally. And, you know, but God just held me up by His grace. But there was a point there where, you know, I was supposed to stay longer and minister more. And I was even supposed to, on the way back, come and spend a week or two in Malaysia ministering and teaching in Bible school and in the churches and stuff. But I couldn't do it, Brother Jose. I was just really at a place of brokenness, and I just didn't have the energy. And so I just told the people in India, I said, listen, I'm sorry. I promise I will be back, and I will make up for the fact that I have to cut things short right now, but I just can't, you know, I can't do it right now. I'm not up to it. And so I made that promise to India. Now, while I was in Germany, years later, I had put down the ministry, because I did do some ministry in Germany. We were ministering to refugees. You'd be very probably familiar with the whole Kosovo war that happened and the Bosnian war that happened. We were dealing with a lot of refugees. Yeah. There was a refugee shelter right near where we lived. And we had these refugees and refugees from Africa, refugees from Iran, Iraq, many places. And we ministered to these people. And it actually turned into a house church for a little season. But at one point, I put that down because I said to the Lord, Lord, I feel like I'm doing this in my own power at some point. Yeah. I said, I know how to do this. You know, I think maybe you can relate to this. I said, I know how to do this. I know how to run a church. I know how to preach. I know how to minister. But I feel that my heart is not in it. And so I took a step of faith, as crazy as that sounds. Usually you take a step of faith to go into the ministry. But I actually took a step of faith to come out of the ministry. And I stopped. But I said to the Lord this. I said, Lord, if you have really called me to your work, to your ministry, then I'm asking you for a sign. This is kind of a fleece that I put out, you know. And I said, I feel that I left the ministry when I stopped ministering that time in India. And if you're going to bring me back into the ministry, this is the sign that I know it's you, Jesus. This is what I said to the Lord. I will know it's you, Master, when you open the door for India again. And I had no connections anymore, Jose, to India. I had no way in the flesh that I have to get back to India to minister. So supernaturally, the Lord took me up on that. And at one point, I was invited to this little house church that met in an apartment in Heidelberg, Germany, by a woman who used to be part of my ministry. She used to serve in my ministry years earlier. And she used to invite me to all these events. You know, you got to hear this prophetic brother. You got to hear this person. And I used to always just ignore it. I didn't want to go. But this one time I felt led to go. I felt God impressing upon me, no, you go to this meeting and meet this brother. So anyway, I did go. And when I went, this precious brother, he's a prophet of the Lord, a German man, and full of the Spirit. And he prophesied to me that the Lord was calling me back, into the ministry. And that he was going to bless my ministry more than he ever had before. So that was powerful enough. But then when I was leaving the meeting that night, I went downstairs to leave, and the Lord spoke to me very strongly in my heart and said, go back up and say goodbye to the brother. And I kind of was ignoring it the first one or two times that I heard it. And then the voice got stronger in my spirit and said, go back up and say goodbye to the brother who ministered to you. So I went back upstairs, and he was talking to some others, and I waited. And then he turned around, and I started to say, you know, your typical etiquette, you know, thanks for the ministry, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And he was just looking at me so intently, and then he came out with this. He said, brother, I really feel that the Lord wants me to ask you something. And I thought, oh, gosh, is he going to read my mail now? Is there some sin he's going to bring out? So this is where I was at that time, Jose. And he said to me, the Lord wants me to ask you if you'd like to come to India with me next month. And Brother Jose, I almost fell on the floor. I was almost slain in the spirit just from that. From that question, you know, and I said, what? And he said, the Lord wants me to ask you if you want to come to India with me. I'm going to India next month with a group from England, and I would like you to come. The Lord wants you to come. And I said, brother, I would absolutely love to come, you know. So that was the Lord answering that fleece that I had put out a couple of years earlier. And I went just with the motivation to support him. You know what I'm saying? I did not go with an idea or a desire to go and preach or minister. You know, I was doing well financially at that time, and I just wanted to go and pray for him, and I wanted to help him, you know, cover his expenses, which I did. The Lord gave me the honor of being able to pay for the conference. So that was a blessing. I enjoyed being able to do that. And I met this beautiful Indian apostle who also invited me back a second time by myself, and we did some major crusades. But anyway, when we went the first time, as I said, I just went to support. And the first day we were there, this brother turned to me and he said, "Brother Danny, I want you to preach tomorrow." So I was totally shocked. And Jose, I had not preached in a major, you know, Christian meeting, I mean with hundreds and hundreds of people, in years, in about maybe 10 years. So, of course, I had the question, you know, do I still have it? Can I do it? Am I still anointed? You know, all those kind of questions.
Yeah.
And I went ahead by faith, and I got up, and brother, it was amazing. The Holy Spirit is so good. It was like we never skipped a beat. I got up, and it just flowed, and the people were so excited about the way that I preached, and the pastors were coming and asking, can Brother Danny do more, and can he do an outdoor evangelistic meeting and on. So anyway, that's what initiated the call back in to the ministry. Now, when I got back to Germany, Satan was waiting for me. And check this out. I come back into my house where I was, and we had just renovated this new beautiful house. And I had a space there where I was going to put a big Lutheran Bible that my mother-in-law had given me as a present and put it up there in our living room as a statement, so to speak, like it says in Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, you know? Well, when I walked into the house coming back from this mission trip where I had preached in, you know, where the Hindu temples are and cast out demons, where all those Hindu temples are and all this false Hindu god stuff, I come back into my house, and where I wanted to put that big Bible, there was a Hindu statue. I couldn't believe my eyes that there was a Hindu statue right there where I was going to put a Bible. And that's when I saw, oh my goodness, I got warfare. This is where I have warfare. And, you know, of course, I confronted my wife about that, and she was not, you know, with the Lord. And she said, oh, well, what does it matter, and this and that. And, you know, it was a big to-do over the whole thing. But then I realized, Jose, I realized this is not going to work like this, and I'm stuck. What am I going to do? I married this woman. I have 4 children with this woman. I'm in this country. So I cried out to the Lord. And I'm being, you know, I'm very transparent about this, Jose, in my testimony. I'm honest about it. You know, I don't try to dress it up and make it sound better than what it is. And I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, I am morally bound in this situation. You know, unless there's adultery or unfaithfulness, or unless the unbeliever wants to depart, I'm bound to stay in this marriage. But I can't see how I'm going to go forward and do the things that you want me to do in this marriage. So I said, Lord, I need you to manifest my wife's heart. Whether she wants to, you know, either you have to do a transformation and change this person and make her, you know, different in that she wants the things of the Lord, or you have to set me free because I'm stuck. Well, believe it or not, the Lord heard that prayer, and just a little while later, that's when she approached me and told me she didn't want the marriage any longer. And I still put it through a couple of tests. I gave time and space for that to be different. But ultimately, that was not the case. It was not different. And the marriage dissolved. And at some point, I felt the Lord say to me when I was there in Germany, okay, you've got to take a step of faith now, because I was going back and forth from America to Germany, America to Germany. And at one point when I came back, the Lord told me, no, I don't want you to go back anymore. I want you to take the step now. You've got to move into what you prayed for. You know, you asked me to come into my will, all right? So you can't play this game of back and forth, back and forth. So it cost me a lot, brother. It cost me a lot. I had to give up everything that I had built up in Germany. I had many properties there. Of course, I couldn't see my children very often, very difficult for me. But it's been 5 years of walking with the Lord totally by faith, and the first year or two letting go of everything I had built up in all those years and just totally relying on the Lord. And that's when the Lord started to draw me back to the desire to teach and to write. And I had a very strong experience in that where I felt a block, you know, because I had written The American Dream. I wrote in 99, and I wrote another book right at about 2000. But since then, I had not written. And I could speak about a lot of things. I studied a lot in those years, you know. But when it came to writing, I was blocked. And I put this before the Lord, and I said, Lord, what is going on? Why am I blocked? And the Lord opened it up for me, Jose, and showed me that there was an element of self-centeredness in my writing, teaching, ministry, that there needed to be a breakthrough where I really took on a new servanthood toward wanting to minister to the people, to serve the people for God. And it wasn't about me. And I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it was like an epiphany, a breakthrough for me. And the vision that I got in my mind's eye was like my spirit yawned. You know, like my spirit opened and yawned. And when my spirit opened and yawned, all this dust came out. You know, like yeah. Dust just, you know, like something had been trapped for years, you know, closed. Like up in an attic in a house or in a cellar or in a garage. And it just opened and all this dust came out and my spirit opened. It just, I don't know how to explain. I'm sure you've had experience like this. It was like scales fell off of my eyes and there was a breakthrough and I was able to sit down and put the pen to paper again. And that was about, I'd say that was about 3.5 years ago. And so since then, I've written 3 books. That was all trapped up in there. And when God delivered me, that's, you know, it started to flow again. So that's where I'm at now. And the Lord also, of course, in the last couple of years as well, took me further in Revelation. And started to show me much, much deeper things about who he is, intimacy with him, who the church really is, who we are, what the ministry is, all these things. When it comes to, you know, the Enoch-type revelation and stuff like that, God had been showing me that for about 2 decades at least. And so that was also in my spirit, and I finally got that out in this last book here, Who Are the Aliens? I've been dealing with that stuff for 20, 25 years, Jose. And I finally was able to put that out on paper in an orderly form for people to be able to absorb. So I'm very excited about that. And that's, I guess, basically where I'm at. The Blog Talk Show, of course, was... you know, Bambi, my co-host, was a real inspiration in that and has been serving with me and encouraging me and helping me and just joined her faith with mine. In all honesty, she had more faith than me when it comes to that. And we stepped out, and it's just been an amazing experience.
And we will be talking about the new book that you are going to bring soon, because that's the theme that I want to take this program today. But okay. The reason that I ask about your returning to America because I want that our listeners understand that this program is a God instrument of weak veils, weak men, weak people, normal people that make mistakes in their lives. I want that people understand that I invite you, my brother, and I hope
yes.
that I have more opportunities to share the gospel with you, to our listeners, because I see in you a figure of my life, you see? People that know me know that I also had a divorce. I brought to my life, as you brought to your life, and what the Bible calls unequally yoked to our life.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that are listening to this show that are struggling with the results of bringing unequally yoked to their own lives. And God
yeah.
is changing these things. They are being prepared to their own errors, mistakes
mm-hmm.
that we all do. Because God will use this to make them stronger, wiser, and able to teach others to do not commit the same mistakes.
Yes.
And the reason that I brought this, I don't want to hear people that are Supermans and Captain Americas of the gospel, you see? There is no superhero. I am a regular guy. I have a calling since my 24th year to preach the gospel. But God,
praise God
sometimes took me to the desert. It was the Holy Spirit as He guided Jesus Christ to the desert. And of course, there I made mistakes. I am not Jesus Christ, but God knew that I would do mistakes. But with these mistakes, when you talk to people, the Holy Spirit convinces the people. You see, my sister, my brother, my daughter, my son, he is an overcomer. He didn't give up. So,
yes.
if we read the Bible, all the great people from God, like Abraham, Moses, they made the same mistakes. You see? So,
yes.
the reason that I want to start from this is because I know what you have to offer. I know what you are going to talk. I know how God is going to use tonight to show your discernment and how value is your work. But first, I want to show your human faith. Okay, because we are all human.
Yes. Amen.
I have people. I have brothers and sisters here. They are fighting in the desert now. They are being prepared. The furnace is hot for them now. You see? But I want them, when they hear your voice, my brother, when they hear your testimony, they see there's a lot of people like them. They have passed the furnace. So I think they are going to be motivated with your story. We have already talked about the first book, but what we are going to talk tonight is how people like Brother Danny are going to be light in the dense darkness that are coming, what I call the fake Gospels Christianity. Okay? Brother Danny, you are going to publish your new book that is called Who Are the Aliens? There's a lot of people talking about aliens, but there are a few people that can connect the ancient text, the ancient Ixo, the New World Order political system, and the scientific methodology of all the transhumanism and things like this in so concise words like your book. I have read a little bit of each page, and I can say that will give the knowledge to people to be an overcomer about this deception. So please, how do you explain, my brother, that only now we are getting access to books like the Book of Enoch and Book of Jasher?
Well, you know, one of the very first verses in the Book of Enoch, in the first chapter, it says that this revelation is being given to Enoch, not for his generation, but for a generation that will be on the earth at the end of time, in the time of great tribulation. So I believe that God has been providentially involved in the process, even though, like I always teach, Satan is a rebellious servant of the Lord. Even though he rebelled against God and he was cast out and he's built his own rebellious kingdom here in the atmosphere and on the earth itself, even through, you know, human governments and every other part of influence, education, you know, even the church, okay, unfortunately, false religions. But he's a rebellious servant of the Lord. So even when he strikes out, for instance, I believe through this Constantinian regime, when Constantine was used by Satan to make Christianity a mixture of pagan religion with the gospel and make that a mandatory state religion, and Satan was able to pollute the gospel and pollute the believers and actually raise up a false institution that he hijacked the title church for. You know, we know that the real definition of church from the original language in the Greek is ecclesia, and that just means the gathering together of the called out ones. And that is a very intimate, organic, non-structural, you know, non-organizational living thing. Satan turned it into a pagan institution and just gave it a religious flavor and took over the name church and took over the name ministry and took over the name minister, so to speak, in its different forms, priest, pastor, bishop, whatever. So Satan was able to block, I believe, and think about it for a minute. If you were Satan, what books would you not want the Christians to have? If I was Satan, I wouldn't want the Christians to have books that reveal how my kingdom works, how I started my kingdom, the different devices that I used, even the names of some of my greatest servants who caused so much problems, and how I manifested myself throughout time and this and that. So he made sure, I believe, to keep those books out of what we call the canon of Scripture, which we've come to term now the Bible, which, as I always say, Bible comes from the Latin and originally the Greek, biblos, and all it means is books. Yeah, group of books. That's all that word means.
Right.
We make the Holy Bible, like Bible is a spiritual word. Bible is not a spiritual word. It just means books. So, Satan, I believe, worked through unregenerate ministers, okay? We have no evidence, and I think we mentioned this on the last program, no evidence whatsoever that these bishops and people that were called together under Constantine to decide what goes into what we call now the Bible and what doesn't, that these were spirit-filled or spirit-inspired men like the original apostles who wrote the scriptures and the prophets who wrote the scriptures. These were very likely carnal men. Okay, and I'm not saying they were bad men, and I'm not saying that they did it on purpose. But what I'm saying is that they may have been blinded and even led or blocked by the fallen spirits to keep certain revelation out of the book. And of course, they even kept the book away from the people as long as they could. They kept the book away from the people for 1,000 years. Even that book that they decided upon, they kept out of the people's hands for 1,000 years. And only the clergy, in other words, the priests and the clerics and the scholars, supposedly could interpret the scriptures in this obscure language, Roman language of Latin. And the people were at the mercy of their interpretation. And we know the mess that came from that. We talked about that the other night when you were on my show, the whole Roman Catholic and Orthodox heresies that came out of that situation. So, you know, and of course through the Reformation, then the scriptures were restored to the church, to the real believers, slowly but surely. And now we have Bibles for the last 400 to 500 years. We have these Bibles. But in these Bibles, and also, even though the Reformers, they did a lot of great things, okay, they got rid of the idolatry that was present in the Roman Catholic Church. They, you know, they got rid of many of the false practices and so on and so forth. But they also cut out some of the books. Now, these were not the books of Enoch and the book of Jasher or Jubilees, but they cut out books like 4th or 2nd Esdras, which is an apocalyptic book that talks about Christ and talks about the end times, and it's very similar to some of the other apocalyptic literature like Revelation. That was cut out. The books of Maccabees were cut out, which give us that intermediary history between the time of the Old Covenant, or the old, what we call now the Old Testament, and the New Testament. And you know, Jose, I don't know if you've been to Bible school or university, but and when I went to Bible school and university, we were taught about the 400 years of silence, that God was silent for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, why were we taught that? We were taught that because the Apocrypha and these other scriptures that you've mentioned were kept from the Protestant churches. They did not have these scriptures in their canon. So it appeared as if Malachi stopped speaking, and then there were 400 years of silence, and then we have the Gospels. Well, this is not the case. God never stopped speaking. He was speaking the whole time through, and thanks to what we believe to be the Essene community who lived in the Qumran desert [S2] Yeah. [S1] Area where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered less than 100 years ago, we see that they upheld and valued these scriptures that you're talking about. Right next to Jeremiah and Daniel and many of the other, the Torah and everything else, we find scrolls of the Book of Enoch, Book of Jubilees, yeah, Book of Jasher. Now, why? Why were those scriptures there? In other words, if these believers, okay, the scribes that were part of the Essene community, did not view these writings on the same level, why would they take so much time, care, effort, and energy not only to transcribe these books, but to preserve them and protect them for coming generations? I'll tell you why. Because they saw them as scripture, and they taught from them. And the more one gets into these books, and in particularly the Book of Enoch, it's full of messianic prophecies. You know, Jose, you know, several researchers are beginning to use the Book of Enoch, and so, you know, to bring out the truths about the fallen angels and these different things. But in the Book of Enoch, in the parables, we have a total revelation and unveiling of the eternal Son of Man. Okay, and I bring that out in Who Are the Aliens? If you've gotten to that part in the book, I bring out who the eternal Son of Man was. This was a messianic prophecy about the pre-existent or pre-incarnate Christ, the eternal Christ in the heavens before, within the barriers of time, his coming to the earth and being revealed in the flesh. Enoch saw the eternal Son of Man. It says in the book of Enoch, he says, "And I saw the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Spirits, sitting upon a throne in all his glory." I'm paraphrasing now. "And next to him, another who sat upon a throne. And Enoch asked the angel, 'Who is this other figure, this other being sitting next to God the Father, the Ancient of Days?' And listen to the answer from the angel. The angel says, 'This is the Son of Man who has righteousness.'" Now, that's quoted also in the book of Isaiah and quoted in a couple of other places. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, he who would become Jesus the Christ on the earth, the eternal Son of Man. Something used to bother me when I used to read the New Testament. Jesus would constantly refer to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man has the power to heal on the Sabbath. The Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. The Son of the Son of Man this, the Son of Man that. And I thought to myself, Jesus doesn't say anything for no reason. He always has a reason for saying. Now, as I was taught all those years before, that Son of Man was referring to his fleshly side, his human side. He was calling himself the Son of Man because he was identifying with humanity. But then I thought to myself, why continue to constantly stress this point? What is the point of continuing to say that over and over? Until I opened the book of Enoch and I saw this eternal Son of Man in the heavens, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me, because I would also see where he was talking about the Son of Man, the religious leaders who hated him would get incited and angry and wanted to kill him. And at one point they picked up stones to kill him, and Jesus said, "For which miracle are you killing me? Do you want to kill me?" And they said, "We do not want to kill you because you do miracles, but because you, being a man, make yourself equal with God." Now, how did he do that? He did that by invoking the title of this eternal heavenly monarch, this God in the heavens, this eternal Son of Man. And that's why they wanted. So when Jesus said the Son of Man, he was not identifying with his humanity. He was identifying with his eternal godly side of his nature. And that's why the Jews were incited to want to kill him, because he kept calling himself the Son of Man. So these things are revealed in these writings. And again, why would Satan want that out ahead of time? Oh, let me add on to this, and I think I mentioned this in the book. If not in that book, I mentioned it in my book, which I have to get to you, Jose. It's called The Sinner's Prayer Gospel, Am I Really Born Again? Mm-hmm. And also in there I talk about this. But where did the doctrine of the pre-existent and pre-incarnate Christ, who was present at creation and one with God and of the same substance with God, where did that come from? Paul speaks about this in depth. The Apostle John opens his gospel with that truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God, and then down in verse 16 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So where did John get this revelation? Because if you study what we call the Old Testament, and people say, well, Isaiah this. Yeah, Isaiah talks about the virgin birth and talks about the messianic kingdom and the coming of the Messiah. But it in no way establishes this pre-existent, pre-incarnate, eternal figure in the heavens with Father God. The Old Testament on its own does not have enough content for that kind of doctrine to be built upon. Yet, when we go into the book of Enoch, we see the premise. We see, I believe, the scriptures that the apostles, John and Paul especially, were drawing from when they established this New Testament doctrine of the pre-incarnate, all-powerful God of very God, Christ. So that's just an example of these books. Now, the initial question you asked me was, why are we seeing the interest in these things? I believe that the Holy Spirit is motivating that. And I think we've already mentioned in our earlier discussion on the last Saturday, I believe that we are in the midst of a new Reformation. There was a Reformation that occurred 500 years ago, give or take a couple hundred years, but mainly from about 500 years ago. Some truths were restored, the truth about salvation by grace, as I said, the separation from idolatry and from Roman paganism and these different things. But many truths have yet to be restored. And there have been truths being restored over these centuries, okay, like correct water baptism was restored, the doctrine of truly being born from the Spirit on high was restored, even the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Spirit gives to the church for the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit had started to be restored in the beginning of the 20th century. But now we're moving on to the next part of the Reformation. And that part of the Reformation is restoring the truth that was stolen, the doctrine that was stolen. You know, for a long time as a young zealous preacher, I used to poo-poo on doctrine, you know. It's not about doctrine, it's about the power of the Spirit and all. But the Holy Spirit showed me, son, doctrine is important. Doctrine is what people believe. And if they believe false doctrine, they can have the power of the Spirit. But Satan can take them off course by believing the wrong things and focusing on the wrong things. So it's very important that correct apostolic doctrine be restored to the church. And I believe that the surfacing of these other scriptures not only confirms the scriptures that we have and backs them up, but also brings the origins of some of the strong doctrines that the early church established. And the reason why they held so strongly to those doctrines is because they drew upon these scriptures. When these scriptures got lost or stolen by Satan and hidden, then they didn't have that to draw on anymore, and that doctrine fell away from the church. So the Holy Spirit is now restoring that doctrine to the church. And in order to do that, we have to bring out the teaching from these scriptures. And I stand on that. Most of my contemporaries will not take such a strong stand on it. They'll call it extra-biblical, extra-canonical, not inspired, but historical and supports the scripture. Well, they're still stuck in that Roman pagan canonization error, in my opinion. The scripture itself quotes from several of these books clearly. Jude, Peter, And I believe even Genesis, that little snippet in Genesis 6 that talks about the fallen angels and the women, I believe that that is a reference to the teaching found in the books of Enoch, the book of Jubilee, the book of Jasher, the book of the giants, and some other places. And I always say, Moses didn't need to teach the whole thing over again because the people at that time had those books and knew those teachings. But the church has not had these teachings for more than 1,500 years.
And in my point of view, my brother, for the little that I know of the history of the church, all of the fathers, the first fathers of the church, they were disciples of the real apostles. They knew these books. I will bring next Sunday a special guest called Dr. Ken Johnson. He is a special scholar about the ancient history of the church, and he has works about these quotations of the Holy Father, the Church Fathers. And he agrees that the degradation comes after about the 3rd century in this era, because it comes with the Gnostic infiltration when church in Rome, that was based in Rome, begins to accept the gospel, the Gnostic teachings from Montanus, then later Manichaeo. And this it brings a counter reaction. Okay, so there was a fight, internal fight in the church fathers to try to not let the Gnosticism take possession of every doctrine. But in the beginning, they were very, very clear, because even John, he survived till a very, very old age. So Polycarp was his disciple, he knew John. So these first church fathers, they knew all the truth. The problem is that the Satan agent, they infiltrated with the time and take positions and remove all that they want to remove. To enslave us now. But thanks to God, the angels of God are working in our favor. You see, these books are coming again. I agree with you. They are, because I have deprogrammed myself of all the program that I was programmed. I don't call inspirational scriptures or non-inspirational scriptures. I call them truth or lie. Okay? And the only thing that we must have be cautious is that maybe these books are not the original ones. So we have to pay much attention with all the translations that are coming now from the Book of Enoch and Jasher, because they are slightly different. So it's possible that the Gnostics and even the Catholics that knew the book, they have changed a little bit. But meanwhile, I want to say this. For me, everything that serves to Jesus Christ and to the apostles is canonical, okay? So the Book of Jasher, the Book of Enoch, for me, it's true. Should be always in the books of the Bible, okay? So saying this, I just want to pass you now this idea. In these books are clearly quotations about the serpent seed, okay, the hybrid. In the chapter 36 of Book of Jasher, there is an episode that talks about strange creatures coming from the sea, half animals, half humans, okay? In the Book of Enoch, we see how they change all the ways of creation, mixing with animals, okay? Yes. So this is clearly why the Satan angels they try to hide their modus operandi. And I will bring tomorrow a special guest here called Jim Willelson. I don't know if you know him. He's a former ministry of the system also, but he had a shop in the Roswell you see, he was in the belly of the beast trying to promote the real gospel. So just write what I'm going to say, my brother. I hope that everybody are sitting. The Church of Roswell, they hit from the same place of all these fake saviors, okay?
Yes. You're breaking up on me, Brother Jose. You're breaking up on me. I can't understand you.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Ah, okay.
You go see, ahead. I'm sorry. I missed that whole part.
Okay, I'm going to repeat. It's strange that when we talk about these things, something starts happening, you see? So this brother of ours, Jim Willelson, will be tomorrow with us. He had a shop there. He tried to promote, to uncover that deception, saying that they are fallen angels. And people from the evangelical churches there become his enemy. You see?
Yes.
So, what I'm saying here, clearly, it's my words I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people on the evangelical Christianity, they are serving these fallen angelic beings. They are
absolutely
real. They are fallen angels, serpent seeds. In the book of Joshua, it's clearly in the chapter 2, it talks that the grandson of the third son of Adam, Seth. After Seth comes Enosh. After Enosh comes Cainan, the third son of Adam, had a grandson called Cainan, who had power over demons and spirits. So they are before the great flood. These are fallen spirits, fallen angelic spirits. They are operating since the time of the garden. They stole the angelic form of Adam, and they are trying, by removing these creatures, to deny that title you talk about, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. In the day we believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of Man, we will be made in the image of the aliens, and they are coming. There are a lot of bases, underground bases, that these kind of beings are operating. Our government know this. My brother, it's your rest now. It's your show now.
Okay, well, I think you see right in my introduction, which you've read, right, Jose, you see that I bring out that a Canadian minister just last year, a retired Canadian minister of the parliament, stood up publicly, I actually have a picture of him there in the book, and declared that he has evidence that four distinct species of aliens are working on American Air Force bases, giving the military assistance or inspiration with technology in many different areas. So, and you'll see as you go through my book that I also parallel that with, it appears to have been four forms of the Nephilim regeneration, four different species there. And also in the legend of Atlantis, there were four different species, which according to the four sons of Poseidon, okay? And I bring out in the book that I believe this to be also a Nephilim empire that truly existed before the flood. And what's interesting about the flood, and you'll see that in some of the, I think it's in the chapter, The Real Reasons for the Great Flood. But I bring out these issues that you're speaking about, and let me touch on them real quick. First of all, it is very possible that at the beginning of the creation of the earth, it was practically one large continent, like one gigantic island surrounded by water. If you see the scripture, it says that the land was all gathered to one place and the waters were around it. And it tells us that when the flood occurred, you know, we usually think of it only as water falling down from the sky. And many scientists who are also some are Christian and some are not, but particularly those that are studying, you know, science from a Christian worldview, believe that there was a canopy-type water above the heavens, you know, above the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture says mm-hmm. that the Lord divided the water from the heavens and the earth, and on the earth he made seas. So there was a canopy of water, which I believe provided a tropical environment on the earth, all right,
yes.
at that time. Well, we know that the Lord dropped that, okay? But that's not all that he did. The scripture also says that the great fountains of the deep were broken up and that the earth was shaken out of its place. I believe, and many scientists and geologists also confirm this, that there were great continental shifts at the time of the Great
yeah.
Flood. In other words, these continents, this continent broke up into pieces. I mean, if you look at the globe today, or you look at a map of the continents, does it not look like a jigsaw puzzle? Broken pieces
yeah.
Separated by each other. And so I believe that, absolutely. So originally, before the Great Flood, if this was one big landmass and you had these Nephilim, which were half human, half angel, aided by the technology of their fallen angel fathers and the supernatural ability of travel that they sported, these Atlantis could very well have existed. There's so many. I mean, and I bring out in the book again, I mean, Atlas was the main, the chief son of Poseidon, the god of the sea, okay? And Atlas, mm-hmm. from the name Atlas, we get the name Atlantis. And we get the name Atlantic, the Atlantic
right.
Ocean. So the actual Atlantic Ocean is named after a Nephilim ruler. Okay? So that tells us a lot. It's very revealing. The other thing is this that I bring out concerning what you talked about when it comes to the animals. In the Book of Giants, I don't know if you've ever perused the Book of Giants. It's not an easy read. It's a lot of fragmented
yeah.
sentences, but there's a lot of revelation in there. And it talks about a phenomenon called miscegenation. Miscegenation
mm-hmm.
is what you just mentioned a few minutes ago, which is the mixing of celestial seed with animals. And I believe that this happened in two ways. I believe, first of all, I don't believe that these fallen angels or their offspring, the Nephilim, or the demons later, were beyond practicing bestiality. We know that these Nephilim empires practiced bestiality. And this also, like you said, puts a hole in a lot of the theories that the satanic elite have tried to sell through the education system, through Darwinism and all that stuff, to speak about this evolution, to give the illusion that these monsters, and the Book of Giants actually calls them monsters, says that these angels created monsters by mixing with the animals. And I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Think about it for a minute. If a fallen angel has sex with a human woman and produces a humanoid giant, which we call Nephilim, then it would make sense that if a fallen angel would practice bestiality with some of the animals, that they would produce these monstrous animals, okay? And so the world is preaching, for instance, dinosaurs and all these type of things are millions and millions of years old, when we know, if we really study this out correctly, that these could have been produced in the couple thousand years, or 1,500 years, rather, before the Great Flood occurred, through fallen angelic and Nephilic and demonic activity, crossbreeding, whether it was directly sexual or whether it was what we're seeing now, what you mentioned through transhumanism and these things, whether it was a scientific process that they used to inseminate these animals to cause them to produce these giant monsters, which, you know, we refer to as dinosaurs and things like this. I also mentioned in the book that, you know, with all this carbon dating and the different layers of the earth and all of that, that there's also a possible explanation for why scientists who do not have this revelation would be deceived into believing that these fossil remains and other types of remains are millions of years old, determined upon the layers that, where they're found in the earth. But if what we said is true, if the whole foundation of the earth was broken up and there were great continental shifts, and these monsters were destroyed at the same time, could not their remains have settled on different levels under the earth, giving the illusion that some are older than others when they really all perished in the same catastrophe that God sent as his judgment through the Great Flood? So I believe that many of these mysteries, again, where did I get this information, like you say? Where did I get this revelation? I drew it from my study of these books that have been denied the church.
Yep. And brother, what we must talk here, because it's important for our guests, we still have 17 minutes and we are going to use it.
Okay.
What is amazing is that as the Holy Spirit is being operated to give us this scripture back, to let us know what is behind the curtain, we are seeing the Pope calling the Christianity a sickness, promoting the alien coming Savior.
Yes.
We are seeing the pickpocket ministry bound down to the Pope on an effort to have one only religion, political correct, not based on the cross, based on science, on transhumanism, on what you can call, but Jesus is becoming only an agorist and a puppet.
Yes.
And it's important for us to understand that this is not coincidence. My brothers and my sisters, the only thing that will stop you to end your days in hell and to be called a serpent seed, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The world, and I had Brother Chris Putman, he's a co-host with Tom Horn in the last show with us, and he had a new book coming also called The Supernatural Worldview, the world will be amazed with the supernatural things that are coming. By first place, by the power of Satan. Okay? You better prepare yourself, because you and I want you to come at this, my brother. All of us will have soon to take a position on this war. We cannot be more babies in faith. We have to deal with the supernatural and prepare ourselves to deal with it. Because there will come a day where you see spirits like you see men. You will see manifestations of supernatural things. They will not hide anymore. Satan will try to take your mind, your will, your heart, until he calls you son of him, not son of man, not son of Jesus Christ. My brothers and my sisters, all people that are awakening are taking the same conclusions. There will be a war for your soul, for your eternity, and you better prepare yourself to deal with the supernatural, to take the authority of the name of Jesus, Yahushua. And God wants you to prepare for this war. Because what is coming, and with the science in the wrong side of this war, preparing the army of the enemy, only the power of the Holy Spirit, only the knowledge of what is behind the curtain, centuries of story, between two seed lines, the serpent seed that was before Adam, because God cursed the serpent seed, and the serpent and the seed of the woman, the Adam seed. There will be an epilogue to this war, and only those who are called out of this world, of this system, of the half-truths, will overcome. Take it from here, my brother. You have 30 minutes.
Okay. I'm very happy that you bring up the power of the Holy Spirit. This is something that I stress very strongly in my books and in my ministry. And you are absolutely right. You know, there's a lot of focus right now, and I think it's good at revealing these things. I do this as well. You mentioned that I've written this book on who are the aliens. But I did something on purpose in this book. I classified the different types of beings, and I broke them down into celestial beings, which are beings created in the heavens or from the heavens, terrestrial beings, those created on the earth, which are man and animal, and extraterrestrial, those created through a perversion, through an aberration between celestial mixing with terrestrial, not created in the image of God, okay? So that would be these Nephilim, these monsters, the things that we've talked about. And of course, when they're disembodied, then they become the demons. But they're all extraterrestrial. They're of the earth. They're not from the heavens. The fallen angels are from the heavens. But the Nephilim and the monsters and the demons are from the earth. That's why they love the things of the earth. But what I also did was I brought out that God, the Trinity, I talked about the Trinity in the first few chapters. God the Father, the eternal Son of Man, and the Holy Spirit. And I also bring out in this other book, The Sinner's Prayer Gospel, the necessity of the relationship that the Christian must have with the person of the Holy Spirit. And that every Christian is supposed to receive the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is a supernatural experience. This is not some mystical, silent thing that we just say, oh yeah, I know I have the Holy Spirit because I prayed and I got saved. No, that's not what the scripture says. This is a supernatural event where we are possessed, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit. Just like these Satanists are possessed by evil spirits, and the Antichrist will be possessed by the spirit of Satan and the false prophet, we are supposed to be the temples, the houses, the habitation of the Spirit of God. And we see in the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And there was the evidence of that power through the speaking in unknown tongues and the power of prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit to heal, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. All those things are supposed to be evident in the Christian body, that the Holy Spirit, to prove that the Holy Spirit is with us. Now, you mentioned that we have all this supernatural, demonic, and evil, fallen, angelic, and hybrid supernatural power coming against us. Well, it's good to know about all that. And there are a lot of Christians that are researching this and writing about it and talking about the power of Satan, the power of Satan, the power of Satan. And it's true. The coming of the man of sin and the man of wickedness and lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be accompanied with a great delusion with signs and wonders performed by Satan. And you are correct, Jose, when you say that the Christians can only defeat these powers. Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are battling fallen, very powerful, fallen evil spirits. And we cannot fight these people with a Gnostic gospel. In other words, a gospel of the mind, knowledge alone. The word gnosis in Greek means knowledge. Okay? And we have a Gnostic gospel going on in the churches where people think because they have knowledge of something, that gives them power over it. Not true. I can have all the knowledge, like we're speaking about tonight, of every class of evil spirit, every class of fallen spirits, and everything they're doing and how they're doing. I can know all of that stuff. None of that gives me power over them. The only thing that gives me power over them is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If I am not moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, even Jesus himself was possessed by the Holy Spirit. At the baptism of John, when he was baptized in water, what are we told? The Spirit descended upon him, and he was filled in the Spirit, and the Spirit even drove him out into the wilderness to go up against the devil. But he needed to have the power of the Holy Spirit first before he could confront the devil. He did not confront the devil in his knowledge of the Scriptures alone, even. He used Scripture against Satan. But he had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. He was moving in supernatural power. That's why he cast out demons. That's why he healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, because he was moving in supernatural power. And it's so important that as much as we preach all this stuff about what Satan's going to be doing, what he's doing and what he's going to be doing, that we preach to people that they need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. That's why John the Baptist told the preachers and the leaders of Israel, he said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Right? So Jesus, and this is what I teach people, Brother Jose, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who commanded his followers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Before he was ready to ascend back to the Father, of all the things that he could have told them, you would think he would have said, now go right away and start preaching and bringing people into the fellowship. Go, go. No, he said, go back to Jerusalem where we had our last meal and wait for the promise of the Father, which I will send you. Then you will be filled with the Holy Spirit from on high, and you will be endued with power. Then you will go forth and be my witnesses. And this is missing in the church today, Brother Jose. People are no longer receiving the person of the Holy Spirit into their beings. And they want to fight against these, you know, the Lord of fear, the Lord of flies. Satan is the Lord of fear. Well, what does the scripture say? Again, in the letter to Timothy, Paul writes, "For we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, we quote that a lot in our fellowships, but do we really understand what it means? I can't say that if I have not received the Holy Spirit. I can only say that if I have received the Holy Spirit and if I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, all this teaching that we're doing, when we're telling people about Satan and fallen angels and demons and, you know, transhumanism and all this wicked stuff, if a person does not have the Holy Spirit, it's just going to breed fear into that person because they don't have the power to go up against those spirits in their lives. So it's very important that we balance this teaching.
My brother, let me warn you that we have 4 minutes. I wanted to energize this before you give us one last prayer. I hope that next time you be back, I will invite Bambi to come. I want to give a big hug to her. Okay. I want to hear her voice next time. My brother, the problem is we need the power, but they try to hide the knowledge from us because Satan is smart. He knows that we must exercise our free will by faith. If we don't know what to believe, how will we get the power? You understand?
Yes, I understand.
Satan tried to do it. If the people doesn't know it, enemy, how he will be able to fight with them if he doesn't know what weapons and what is the arm, the weapon that will hurt the enemy. So when they try to hide all these fallen angelic beings that are here on this earth since the beginning, and they still hear even disguised as humans, if they try to make this a mockery. And all these people that tried to warn the humanity about this war were killed.
Yeah.
In every way. How can the people be saved when they appear as our saviors, as our brothers of space? You see, my brother, we need the knowledge, but it's not enough the knowledge. But it's important to talk. It's important to warn people. Because they
of course. Well, that's why I'm writing these books. Of course.
Yes. And that's why I'm inviting you, and I will invite much more times to come. And each happening that happens in this world, we must comment. We must gather to between our spiritual father. He will bring knowledge. He will bring discernment. So, my brother, give us your prayer. Because we have only 1.5 minutes. Give us your prayer and we will mark another show to bring you and to talk again, okay?
Okay, my brother. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We've just spoken about you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are right here with us. And we thank you that, Master, you promised us, Lord Jesus, where two or more of us are gathered together in your name, there you are with us through the Holy Spirit. And if two of us shall agree on the earth, is touching any one thing, we will have what we say by faith. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, first of all, for Brother Jose, Lord, and for his ministry. And I ask, I pray, first of all, for your protection for him and for his family and for those of his spiritual family, his church on the internet, and those that are involved with him there locally. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you employ more angelic forces, even if necessary, to protect these brothers and sisters. And Holy Spirit, I ask and I thank you, first of all, for revealing the knowledge that you're revealing and releasing the power that you're releasing to us in this hour to combat the wickedness and the evil that Satan wants to bring against us. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, because I see the hunger. And Lord, you said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I pray for this listening audience, Lord, who, if they're listening to this show, they're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And I ask you, Lord, to fill them, Holy Spirit. Fill them in your power tonight. Even as they're listening to this, whether it's live or on a download, fill them with your power, Holy Spirit. Come right through this transmission and touch their lives, Lord. And fill them with your love, and fill them with your power, and fill them with your revelation and your wisdom and your knowledge. And we just give you all the glory tonight for what you've done, Lord, and we ask you to continue to lead us into all truth and fill us with your power and reveal Jesus through us, Lord, and make him real to us. And we just thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, my brother. What a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Next time I will hope to bring Bambi. I think she has called to the show, but I don't know if it's her number. I will have to tell her to send me his number that she uses, and I will bring her live also. Okay?
I'll let her know.
To manage. Okay, brother, it was a pleasure. It's always an honor to have you amongst us. May the Lord bless you, my brother.
You too. Thank you so much, Brother Jose. God bless you and your people.
God bless you. Bye-bye.